League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? Let's finish the week strong on The Usual Suspects. It's an F Yeah Friday, and it's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio with you till 4 o'clock. We appreciate you taking us along for the ride, whether you already are starting the weekend right or you're finishing up before you get to better things. We appreciate you making us a part of your day. Fellas, what is going on?
What's going on?
Hey, can we send in the stuff and just have it Barry Laminack and Joel Blank?
What are you talking about?
I hate
the
your face.
The show beginning.
How are you going to start the show off like that, sir? What's your deal? Why are you in a bad mood?
What triggered that?
I don't know. I heard Joel Blank and Barry. I was like, I want to go first this week. Nothing. I'm just playing around. I really don't care. What'd you do last night?
I watched a lot of crap.
I'm glad I missed all of it. The Astros game, we had it on, but the rain delay, so we forgot about it. The draft, it looked like just a hodgepodge of trades that didn't really make a darn. I'm glad I missed sports last night. I'm not going to lie.
I had a bunch of stuff going on at the house, so when I finally did turn on the Astros game, and it was like, I think it was in a rain delay, and it was already looking like
it was out of reach.
Yeah. I was like, well, that's just a downer. So then I flipped over to the draft, and it was like way too many stories in between picks and the whole thing of speculating who's doing what and on what date does this one go through. And I was just like, you know what? I'll read the transaction page tomorrow.
Yeah. We had a good time at the show last night, so
that was fun.
It went great.
Did they talk to you about coming back on a regular basis?
No.
Well, they should.
Who owns the improv, by the way? Is it one person or is it like a multiple?
No, the improv is nationwide. It's owned by a group. It's owned by a group called Levity. So, yeah, they own like,
you
know.
Spell that?
I don't know. Oh. They own a lot of.
You get the peeps on this. Can you just spell that for us?
Well, but here's the thing. They don't book this improv. So, like, the GM and the staff there book the local clubs. So, they may like the national touring headliners, like Bruce, like my buddy Bryson that we featured on the show, had him on the show.
Yeah, who's here?
He features for Bruce a lot around the country, almost predominantly is his main feature. And, you know, so they are like, okay, we're going to book you at all the improvs around the country. So they'll do that. But like local feature acts, and unless the headliners have their own, the local people book for the show. So,
okay.
Yeah. Nice try, though. I appreciate it. It was fun, though. Andy Huggins still has his fastball. Still funny as hell.
Still can't drive.
but, yeah, like, it was a pretty chill. We had a little fun after the show ourselves.
Boy,
yesterday.
Holy cow. Cutting
some promos. That was a good time. And we're going to welcome a new sponsor next week. Two new sponsors. I'm excited about that. So, yeah, we're rocking and rolling. What'd you do?
I did nothing, man. I just chilled at the house. Didn't really do anything. I was kind of disappointed starting to watch the NBA draft. I was saying all week that I was excited to watch the NBA draft, and I just turned it off early. I just did not.
It got lame, huh?
It got really lame. So I really didn't do anything, man. I just stayed.
When the highlight of the draft is Zion Williamson coming out and saying, "I didn't have chicken fingers. I had shrimp and mashed potatoes." That lets you know that there was a boring draft.
There were more headlines about him crying and getting emotional than anything else.
Yeah.
So
can we talk about the age ratio between himself at
18
and his little brother at 5?
Why is that a big gap?
And Mama doesn't look. Whoa. Well, I mean, I don't know how the if it was a natural birth or not. I'm just saying. And Zion's a big kid.
You are awful.
I'm just saying. I mean, that's a large discrepancy in age.
Not that kind of gap, Joel.
Oh,
between age.
Just asking a question.
That's not. I mean, 13 years.
13 years.
That's not that much. Me and my younger sister are 10 years apart.
11 between.
Old Papa Laminack was getting it in at 50.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I get, wow. I get.
But see, like, it depends. I don't know how old his mom is, but if she was, you know, 20, 23, 24 when she had him, what's that? I mean, she's 37, 36. That's
there,
not terrible.
There are bigger discrepancies for sure.
Yeah.
Because she looks old, obviously.
She looks old?
Older.
Older.
Yeah.
Like 50s?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And black don't crack, so she might be 70.
True.
Yeah.
True.
So. I don't think it's that big. I imagine there's a lot bigger, like, even than, you know, the 13. I'm sure we have listeners that have younger or older siblings that are much further apart than that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think is, what is too far where you're like, all right, that's a little much, like 25 years apart?
Dude, I mean, these days, you don't know.
Because I could see someone having a kid at like 18. They're young, they're 17,
right.
They're in high school. Then they get, you know, they have that kid and they're going along. Then they get married, and later on in that relationship, you know, 25, 30 years down the road, that person and their significant other decide that they want to have a kid. So that would be a long ways apart.
Yeah, and some kids, unfortunately, get pregnant and have kids like in their early teens now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you end up like when you are 25 and you've already gotten a kid that's like, almost 10 years old. That's,
right.
That's crazy, too. Someone always said to me, because you're saying your dad used to get after it, and one of my buddies, an ex-athlete, said one time when he was dating a younger woman, I was like, wow, you're doing well. And he goes, man, I'm no math major, but thanks to the little blue pill, I had no idea that he was like 50-something. He goes, I had no idea that 51 went into 34 that many times. And I just started laughing. I was like, that's an all-time
classic. That's outstanding.
That is
outstanding.
Yeah. So, you know.
That's good stuff.
Thanks to medical technology, which
yeah.
We may or may not be filling you in on.
Yeah. Next week.
Yeah. Nick, you missed it. It was like one of those all times in terms of just kind of off the cuff, cracking up and putting together a spot.
So you guys were just hanging out after and just cutting these. So how long did it take?
I was so down for that.
It took a lot longer than we than it probably should have.
Because you guys were being children during the whole process.
No, because we got a one-sheeter of bullet points.
And the
one direction we got from the client was, don't act like you're reading or just read the bullet points. And so we were like, oh, okay. And yeah. Then what we thought, like, each one of us was cutting. No, it was two spots that we had to do together. So then we're sitting there going, all right, well, then you say this, then I'll say that. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And, boy, we had some lines in it. That's pretty good.
By the way, I just want to give a shout out to the listeners that came out last night. Appreciate y'all.
Oh, good.
Coming out. Andy Huggins has fans. America's Got Talent will do that, though. You get on America's Got Talent and you get fans.
I was going to ask because
he had a nice little line ready to take pictures with him. So that was cool.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I was trying to go and then my friend was like, well, who was like the comic that we were going to go see? So I showed her the video of AGT and how Stupid Spice didn't get any of his jokes or a good portion of his jokes. And she immediately hated Scary Spice right after, like right after she saw that video.
Good. She should hate him.
Yeah.
We were talking about that with him and one of the comics had a good point. He was like, Andy, did you know who the Spice Girls were when they came out? And he was like, I think I remember something about that. Andy's, you know, he's 68.
He ain't going to lie to you. He's
68. Yeah, he's like, I think I remember something about him. And the comic's like, did you ever think that so many years later that one of the Spice Girls might actually ruin your chances of a big break that at that point? Like, you don't think about it, but it's true.
Yeah. It is.
Like, she is.
She was the block in his way. Like, she was the deterrent.
Because I'm telling you right now, if he advances, I don't think that chick from the trailer park, whatever her name was, I wasn't a fan.
I
don't badmouth comics, but I just felt like Andy was way funnier than she was. Way funnier. More original, better writer. So I'm not necessarily knocking her per se. I'm just saying I felt like Andy was head and shoulders above where she's at as a comedian.
It was a good performance. I mean, he did well on AGT.
So I was pretty disappointed in that, because you know what's, you want to hear a sick twist of fate? Is that she came in town, and guess who featured for her?
Andy.
Yes.
Wow.
And I was like, I hope you buried her. I hope she couldn't follow you. I hope that it was, he's like, nah, I just did my jokes. And, you know, the crowd was there. A lot of them were there to see Andy. A lot of them were there to see her. So I was like, well, you're a better person than me. I would have tried to just destroy her whole night.
Are they not doing another, like an America's Got Talent?
They are.
I saw, but for comedians.
Oh, you're talking about Last Comic Standing.
No, it's not called that anymore. It's a different
name.
There's
a new show. Yeah, Last Comic Standing isn't running anymore. It's Bring the Funny or something like that.
Yeah, Chrissy Teigen, I think. And then
Jeff Foxworthy.
Yeah, Jeff Foxworthy. And I forget who the third judge was. But yeah, I saw that I was like, sure. Why don't you do that?
Who, me?
Yeah.
You know, I got the notice to submit for it.
Yeah.
And when I get those, I talk myself out of them. Because I'm like, I'm just not funny enough. I'm probably not ready for this. I don't think I would make it. This is a waste of time.
You follow your own mentions on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
People seem to like you.
But I don't know. It's just like the $100,000 pyramid. I think that would be great exposure, and I would have a lot of fun, and it would be cool.
Yeah.
And I just talk myself out of it. I'm like, you know what? It's probably stupid, and they're just going to ignore it.
Like, I know you have no shot at $100,000 pyramid, but I think you would have a legitimate shot.
Are you saying I'm dumb?
In the comedy deal.
We're doing the usual suspects.
The comedy deal,
$50 pyramid.
I think you'd have a shot.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to do a $100,000 pyramid on this show with interns. Dude. You're going to get an intern, and I get an intern. What?
I'm staying away from interns.
After yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would probably be smart.
Yeah, no, not after all that.
I have no clue what you guys are talking about. So
no, we have to do that though. We have to do a Usual Suspects, and Nick has to do it too. Now, do we want Nick to be the host, the game show host?
No,
or does he have
I think
to
it'd be more entertaining if he participated.
If he was in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
NBC's Bring the Funny, and apparently they pre-tape it. So
yeah. Yeah,
I think you should listen to Joel and totally apply
Keenan Thompson, Chrissy Teigen, and Jeff Foxworthy. Well, I had the info to submit. I could have sent in a tape well before it started. But Ali Siddiq is on there. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. He's got a bit on there, too. So that's pretty cool. I don't know. I talk myself out of those
now
things.
Now, you say he's in there. Is he competing, or is he just a guest spot?
You know, I don't think so. I think he was just performing. Okay. I don't think at this point that Ali, he's kind of above all that now. Like, he's big time. He's big time nationally. So I don't think he's going to compete. I could be wrong. He may have just done it because he's got some sort of deal with NBC to, you know, to do his thing. So
right.
Okay.
Speaking of comedy, our comedian of the week this week on F Yeah Friday, Jeff Joe is going to be our comedian of the week. Jeff just recently did really well in one of our local contests here in Houston. He ended up placing third, and dude is super funny. Kind of newer into the game, couple years in, but I've watched him kind of from afar grow as a comedian, and he's just gotten really, really funny. And when I saw how well he did in the contest, I was like, yo, I need to feature this guy. Put some of his comedy out there. So he will have clips at 1:15, 2:15, and 3:15.
There you have it. So that clip's coming up next and a whole lot more. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call that number. Text that number. Also, hit us up on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at The Producer Nick. We are The Usual Suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
Of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sharara.
I'm sorry, man. Harvey really fucked me up, man. I mean, I lost my car during Hurricane Harvey. Not because of the storm. I just missed a few payments, but... I'm glad you find that shit funny. It wasn't Hurricane Harvey. It was Repo Man Harvey that came and took my shit. All you motherfuckers in here laughing. One of y'all better offer me a ride after the show.
Jeff Joe, comedian of the week. Clip number one. We also have clips at 2:15, 3:15. Barry gave you a little of the backstory there, but we always feature a comedian of the week on an F Yeah Friday, and there you go. It's Jeff Joe.
I worked with a comedian I hadn't worked with before named Carrie, and she was super funny, so I'll probably feature her next week. I told her to send me some audio. She was the MC, and she was really funny. So, and Doug Dalton was also on the show last night, and I don't remember if we featured him or not. I know he sent me some stuff.
I don't think we did,
but I think either the audio was awful or something like that. So, if we didn't get Doug on the show, we'll get him on as well. He's super funny. I remember first time I ever worked with him, me and Andy were in Corpus. He's from Corpus, and then just moved up here to chase this comedy dream. So
you're getting that transgender one that you will work next week.
No, she's out of Arkansas.
Oh.
So she's not.
Oh, gonna... that's right. That's when you were. Okay. I'm just seeing if. Okay.
No.
All right. Just checking. A lot of people are in town for the Pride Parade this weekend.
Way to make it weird.
I'm just sorry. I'm just,
way to make right. it weird now. Okay. That's all. I don't know what to do with my hands.
Well, I would sit on them. I said that to Barry in the break. I didn't realize till recently in watching the more up-to-date modern $100,000 pyramid with Michael Strahan, that in the final round, when you're in the final round, there's no hand gestures. They either like strap you to a belt that keeps your hands next to your leg, or you have to like sit on your hands.
Really? See, that's just so weird. Like, I guess they don't want to have to give the money away if they don't have to, right?
Yeah, like you and I were saying, there was a couple recently where they basically got it without saying it verbatim the way it was on the board, and they didn't let it go. And I'm like, that's pretty cheap.
Until they get to the – well, I guess, no, it was even in the final round, in the $100,000 round. Because they do $50,000 round and the $100,000 round, right?
If you get back, yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, well. Astros last night, not pretty. Boy, I'll tell you what. And then at least they made it somewhat – respectable at the end, but there was 8 home runs between the two teams. Unfortunately, the Yankees got all theirs when it mattered.
I'm telling you, man, it was good to see Jose Altuve back and running the bases. I didn't see the hitching his get along like you did a little bit in some of the videos that were posted when he hit that triple. Yankees are nasty. We were talking about this in the green room last night. They don't even have their full complement of hitters, but you got Gleyber Torres, you got Gary Sanchez, you got, I mean, just, what's the kid's name at shortstop? Gregorius? Like,
yeah, Didi. Yep. He's back.
But... yeah, it's going to be a murderer's row, especially now that they've added Encarnacion to that mix. And that was what Doug was saying. He was like, man, do you think that this, you remember murderer's row? Is this Yankee squad, when healthy, better than murderer's row? I don't know if there's been a more prolific power-hitting lineup than this lineup when they're healthy.
I mean, the thing is that, like, with adding in our Encarnacion as well, too.
Right.
I mean, yeah, and he hit a home run last night.
Can you think of a more prolific power-hitting?
No, that's the thing. I mean, people are going to look at the original Murderer's Row, and they're going to talk about Hall of Famers, and they're going to talk about, legendary all-time all-timers. But the bottom line is, if you're just talking about the ability to hit the ball out of the yard, they're pretty much at each position almost loaded with someone that can do that on a pretty consistent basis.
Yeah, and you don't have, I mean, Sanchez, Luke Voit has 17, Gleyber Torres has 17, Clint Frazier has 11.
And he's in the minors.
Yeah, Brett Gardner has 11. I mean, these are guys like DJ LeMahieu is almost in double digits, and that's not even their core guys that are ones that are going to hit for the most power. So
and Judge is back tonight, so when you put him in there too,
yeah,
when he starts getting going, and Stanton just came back, so
you look at this, and then I see names on the list that haven't even hit yet, like Bird and where did it go? I just saw it, the third baseman.
Well, he's out for the year.
Yeah, but Andujar. But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. They don't have their full complement. They may never have their full complement this year based on the way things are going. But this is still going to be a prolific power-hitting team. All that said, I think I've come around to your way of thinking when it comes to the Astros. These last couple of games have really shown the weakness in the rotation.
Yeah.
And even with guys like Verlander and Cole, they've struggled a little bit, and if they struggle, it's going to be bad because the other guys aren't doing their part either. So I after watching this, I think you look at it and say, you know what, maybe they do need another arm. They really do need to to add a fourth starter to the mix that they can count on or they can stop the bleeding a little bit, because everybody's going to scuffle. Everybody's going to struggle. But you saw what they were able to do with the rotation that they had last year and the year before, and this is a weaker rotation. You really thought Brad Peacock was going to be the guy that, man, he's a solid three who really pitches like a two.
Yeah.
Miley is doing that. But then after those three, I mean, you really can't count on Framber Valdez because he's so young and inexperienced.
That's the thing. He was rolling for four innings and then just lost
wheels
everything.
Fell off. And so, you know, you look at this team, and yeah, they're solid 1-2-3. But they're going to need, I think they're going to need another quality arm. And not necessarily a frontline starter, not an ace necessarily, but they're going to need another quality arm in that rotation.
Dick Justice was on with Creighton last night.
Oh, yeah?
And he was talking about that, Richard Justice.
Okay.
And he was talking about the fact, and every time, of course, that he mentioned the number one name on his list in that regard, I lit up and almost had to pull over. But Marcus Stroman was the guy that he said, more than Madison Baumgartner or anything like that, would be a guy that would be good for them, that could be at the top of their list. And he goes, I think they should go get him, but because I said that, they probably won't. But that was before last night's game, because I'm with you, too. It's like, you know what? Sometimes a team loses one really good arm in their rotation. But when you lose McCullers to injury and you lose Morton, and then, you know, you start dealing with all, you know, the little injuries, whatever it is with McHugh, and like you said, Peacock did, it's like they've taken so many hits where they thought that it was a strong arm for them.
Yeah.
That it is. It's time to address that now before it gets too late, before you get into bidding wars with other teams. If you can get a deal done now, you probably don't have to give up as much, and hopefully you get your choice of who you really want to go after.
Yeah. I mean, last night kind of did it for me. I was like, all right, that's too many home runs and too many games and too many runs scored in a row. And I realized that, you know, this is five losses in a row. It's not the end of the world. I'm not worried about the Astros making the playoffs. I'm not worried about them being World Series contenders. There's still all of that. But you just see that, you know, before when we talked about it, we said they really didn't have any weaknesses. Well, now, when you see a weakness, you address it. And I think right now their rotation, more than anything, might be their biggest
weakness. As we talked about yesterday, they're going to win the division. So their division becomes trying to get the best record in the American League. And now they realize that is a competitive division, because you're talking about trying to, and I say that obviously tongue-in-cheek, division, but that's what I'm talking about. Your competition becomes trying to have a better record than the Twins and the Yankees and teams like that who are playing at a very high level that you really have to pay attention to. And if indeed this is the team that you're going to have to get past in order to get to a World Series in the Yankees, you know that you can't throw a Framber Valdez out there because it looks like he just isn't ready for primetime yet on the big-time stage, just like the guy that I thought all along was going to be my pick to be the fifth starter this year. Josh James has looked awful.
Yeah.
And you can't take, look, he's got a great arm, but you can't have as much patience with him in putting him out there when you are trying to do big things like this. Yeah. You know, with a middle of the road team or whatever, you can just keep throwing him out there, let us get his feet wet, take his lumps. He'll be better off for it. This team is too good to be doing that.
Yeah. You know what else is too good?
What's that?
Getting cash back.
There you go.
Getting upside is on your phone is too good. Not really. It can never be too good when you have Get Upside, because you're always going to get cash back when you use the app to purchase your gas or your food, lunch, dinner, whatever it is. You want to grab a Frosty from Wendy's? Hey, you can get cash back on that Frosty. Yeah, that 99-cent Frosty. What if you could get 35% cash back on that 99-cent Frosty? You're living the good life, my friend. Download Get Upside right now. Put it on your phone. It's completely free to download, completely free to use. Jake Asman popped in while we were recording a spot yesterday. I was like, hey, Barry, I've been using Get Upside. I love this thing, man. He was telling me how much he got back on his first fill-up. I think it was like $4 on his first fill-up. Listen, if someone walked up to you and was like, hey, sir, ma'am, here's $4 while you're pumping gas, would you say no thank you? Absolutely, you'd take that money. So download Get Upside and put it on your phone before you leave for the weekend. I know you're going to fill up on the way home or fill up Monday morning before you get to work. Because I want you to start getting that cash back in your pocket. And make sure you use my promo code Barry. Jake used my promo code Barry. That's how he was able to get that extra cash back bonus on his first fill up through the app. And don't forget to use it on the food, man. That's where you can really rack up some money through the different restaurants. Over 100 around the city of Houston. And you can start to rack up some real good cash back offers. Remember, Clarence said he got like $5 in 2 days I've seen listeners with $25 in their account after 3 weeks. Just got to use it, man. It's that simple. And you don't, you know, if you get tired of using the app or you get tired of getting free money, which I don't think you will, but if you did, then don't use it. It's that simple. There's no catch, no fees, no commitments or anything like that. So download GetUpside, put it on your phone. Use my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back. Y'all thank me later.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, half hour into The Usual Suspects on an FBI Friday. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio. Thank you so much for taking us along on the ride, wherever you may be in the big city on this hot Friday in Houston. Shout out to your friendly neighborhood beer salesman. He turns 68 tomorrow, so Lord. Happy birthday.
He looks good for his age.
No doubt. He turns 38, but he's thirsty, but he called it on himself, so I just decided.
Oh, he did? Yeah, that's not good. You can't ask for your own birthday wishes. Yeah, but I mean, there you go. I guess you kind of have to let us know because we don't know all the suspect's birthdays.
Will we? For this one time.
Of course we will. He's a good dude.
But if he's in a different city constantly talking about his job and what's going on in that city and what's on the radio there, then we might have to.
You leave Juan alone. You're so mean. I was going to say if he was Paul, definitely not.
Yeah, that either.
Then it would be a no-go for sure.
Yeah, there's several lately. That.
How do you feel? A name I keep seeing pop up on trade rumors for pitching. Zach Wheeler.
The Mets pitcher?
Yeah, how you feel about old Zach?
Look, at one point, and again, when Creighton was talking to Richard Justice yesterday, he had said at one point Syndergaard was out there, and now it's Zach Wheeler. Look, if you want to talk about Syndergaard and you can lock that guy up long term, I'm great with that. But I'm okay.
If you could get Zach Wheeler.
Once he got left, I mean, how much team control is there left on him?
Let me look up his spot track.
Because that would be a big difference maker for me.
Yeah, one of the things that's appealing about Zach Wheeler is that he gives you that 3-4 slot.
Right.
He's that kind of pitcher. But you could get him kind of on the cheap. I saw something that said maybe for, you know, a bottom end of the top 10 prospects in an organization. And once you get
fine
past 5 or 6 within the Astros organization,
if
you could trade your number 8 prospect for Zach Wheeler, I think you might go do that. He's got one more year of team control, so he's got $5 million on the books this year, so you would have him. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He's unrestricted free agent in 2020. That's my bad.
Oh.
So he would be a rental.
So then it's cheap. Yeah. Hopefully you don't have to give up as much.
He would be a rental. I looked at that incorrectly. I apologize. So, he had signed that one-year deal with the Mets, and then he's an unrestricted free agent in 2020. So if you're just looking for an arm to chase a World Series and you could get away with giving him, you know, an 8. Since he's a rental, 8 might be a little high.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But it just depends on, I guess, what the asking price is from the Mets. But I think that's an arm to look at as well. I've seen Matt Harvey's name thrown out there. I wouldn't touch Matt Harvey.
Nah. Too much off-the-field stuff going on as well with him.
Yep.
But, you know, and of course, Mad Bomb's not going to go away, and somebody's going to kick the tires on him eventually, and he'll probably go somewhere before the trade deadline. But I think his best days are behind him, so I'm not too worried about them going after him. But I think Luno's going to be smart. I mean, the one thing that you at least have to feel good about is the fact you've got a really, really solid general manager that not only can evaluate talent, but can also kind of weigh the market and know, to use your Kenny Rogers line, but know when to hold them, when to fold them. I mean, everybody said the Astros were knee-deep in this Encarnacion trade, but when it came down to having to take on a large portion of his remaining salary even for this year in order to make a deal work, he pulled out. He did the right thing.
Yeah. I'm looking at the, like, MLB trade rumors, and I'm trying to see if there's any, like, hot talk out there. I don't really see anything. But I'll keep looking at that because if you want to keep up with the stuff like that, I highly recommend MLBtraderumors.com. It's a really good website to kind of keep up with going on, what's going on with each team. And then they have kind of a featurette on the right. You can go to the rumors per team and see, like, what are the Astros? What are the rumors for the Astros? Or if Josh Rapp just wants to see what are the latest rumors out there for the Cardinals, you can do that. So MLBTradeRumors.com is a really good source week in and week out.
Yeah, just like and for basketball, HoopsHype.com is normally the one that has the most concise. And they take basically what everybody's saying and kind of wrap it into just a few little blurbs that you can get that keeps you informed.
We didn't talk about it yesterday. Josh Rapp brought it up, as a matter of fact. But this whole Rays splitting time between Tampa Bay and Montreal, how do you feel about that?
To me, the Jags do it in London in football, but that's fine. It's just one game or one or two or two games. I think it's one game. But when you're talking about splitting a baseball schedule, the first thing that popped into my head, especially with the logistics of where they are geographically, but you're talking about a team going from Florida all the way up to Canada. And like, are you leaving like, you know, half your equipment up there all year and going back and forth? And, you know,
imagine they're flying all that, right? They have to.
But I'm saying, like, for players that might be hurt and rehabbing, you know, you're rehabbing there, you're rehabbing here. Because if you've got the, you know, two series coming up that are going to be in Montreal, then you want the guys rehabbing, getting ready because they could possibly be activated. You got to have, like, two separate – and players are probably going to have two separate spots, right? Have an apartment there, have an apartment in Tampa?
You feel like that would be the case.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Unless, are they going to say that Montreal in regards to the team itself is treated as a road game so they get hotels for everybody?
No, you know what I think it would do
if you're up there for 41 games or 40 games, you know, whatever, however they split it up, that's a lot.
I would think that they would do it. But again, for the players, it's taxing because it ends up like a road trip. But I would think that they do it where they do like you'd have a 10-game homestand. Well, one 10-game homestand is in Tampa, and then the next complete 10-game homestand
instead of when you go on the road,
be in Montreal.
Instead of going to Tampa, you go to Montreal.
But again, that's going to be just like another road trip for the guys. It's going to be a lot worse than the guys that get to come home and sleep in their own beds and feel comfortable in their own city for, you know, half their games.
There's still a Montreal Expos Twitter. It's got 31,000 followers.
Was a volunteer working on doing it? Because I don't think there's a Montreal's club that could be paying them.
I wanted to look up on Baseball Reference, also a really good, if you're a stats dork like I am, get out to or go to Baseball Reference. You'll really enjoy that website. But I was trying to look up what was their attendance the last couple of years, because we know how awful the Rays' attendance is this year, and the Marlins for that matter.
We've highlighted it, 5,000-6,000 a game in some regards.
So why not just move the team? Why split? The folks in Tampa Bay have proven they don't give a crap about baseball. If they did, they would be showing up to a team that was in first place for most of the year, is still holding out, hope that they're going to make the playoffs. They look like a perennial playoff team. They look like a contender. They won 91 games last year. They would have easily made the playoffs if they were in the National League. This is a good ball club, one of the best pitching staffs in the American League this year. And they don't show up. And so why even play around? Just move the team to Montreal if you think that it will work out there. I just don't understand that.
Yeah, I'm with you. And the thing is when you look at it, if they weren't winning, I can understand. If you want to, but now they're trying to blame the rickety stadium. Guess what? It doesn't matter what kind of stadium you're playing and when you're winning. When you're winning cures all ails. I mean, at that point, when you're winning the way they're winning, you should want to go out and see this ball club because you know you got a really legit shot to be a playoff team.
Yeah.
That's saying something because you don't have Evan Longoria anymore. You don't have some of the big names that you had when you were knocking on the door for years. So the fact that they've rebuilt on the fly and this team is hyper-competitive and they're still only drawing about 6,500 a night for weeknight games, you don't deserve a Major League Baseball team. You just don't.
So I found the averages for the Expos.
Okay.
In their heyday, they were drawing 28,000. That was back 81, 82, 83. I'm guessing that was the Andre Dawson era. The last 7 years. So from 98 to 2004, their average attendance was 11.3 thousand, 9,540.
So
11.4, 8,000, 10,000, 12.5, and 9,300. Like, they literally drew a million in their last 5 years one time.
Yeah, I just, you know,
and get the National League average in that same span was 2.2 million. They drew 1.0 million was the highest. What did they
do for the exhibition games there this year? I mean, if they drew for that, but that's, maybe that's...
I don't think you can count that.
And I'm with you.
Because it's the novelty of it, right?
Yeah, the bigger thing is you've been there once. It didn't work out for exactly what you're talking about. And those numbers were actually better than what we're talking about with the Rays. So if you're going to relocate the Rays, why go all the way up to Canada? Why not look at cities like Portland and Nashville and all this? We've mentioned a lot of
San Antonio,
New Orleans.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many different cities that are just dying to get a professional sports team and embrace it and support it. Look, no one thought Oklahoma City was going to be a good NBA franchise.
Be a good baseball
town. To move.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden, OKC, even as the only game in town, they're killing it. And obviously it helps that your team is playing good basketball too, and you had Kevin Durant and Westbrook and all those guys. But the fact of the matter is, they haven't been great the last couple years, but they still sell out every game, and they still get massive crowds, and everybody loves the Thunder. Why wouldn't you put a baseball team so in the summer they got something that can jump on that bandwagon and do the same thing and give them a shot? Because the bottom line is, as long as they're drawing more than 6,000-7,000 a year, the franchise is doing better than it would be in Tampa.
Yeah, I agree. I looked up Tampa's numbers. I don't know why I just said it like that. Tampa? I don't know.
What else you get for me today, beer?
Don't you know the Tampa numbers?
Geez, I tell you, and the weather might be a little better, but I don't know unless there's a roof on that bad boy.
Last year, Tampa drew 1.1 million, 1.15.
That's awful.
All right? They averaged 14,259 per game. This year, they're averaging 14.5, so a little better than last year. But when you look at their numbers, like when they first started their first year, they averaged 30,000, of course. They drew 2.5 million. Then it just plummeted, 19, 18, 16,000, 13. There was a run there for when they started making the playoffs in 2008, 2009. They started drawing a little closer to 20 a year. And then once that was over with, back to 17, 15
a year.
So
where did they sit in the entire major leagues last year for home attendance?
They were, well, I don't have like the rankings of attendance.
You don't have top to bottom?
No, but I can look that up. But they were, I mean, at 1.15 million, I'm guessing that they were near the bottom.
Near the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so too. Because like even Baltimore draws well. Beautiful stadium, great backdrop, but they just don't have a very good baseball team. But at least people still come out to watch baseball. But that gives you an indication of what kind of city you're dealing with. If you're dealing with a baseball town, a town that supports baseball, regardless if it's win or lost baseball, the great indication is when the team is losing, if you're still drawing consistently, then you deserve a baseball team. But if your team is winning and you're drawing less than 10,000 a night, you don't deserve a Major League Baseball team.
So to answer your question, last year, 2018, I've got to make sure I'm doing this right because you know me, I can screw it up. The Tampa Bay Rays were second to last in total attendance with 1.15 million.
Who's last?
I'll give you one guess.
Not Baltimore.
No.
Because I just said they
were fourth to last.
Good. Oh, really?
Well, at 1.5. The Marlins. The Marlins drew 811,000 people for a year.
Derek Jeter, man. Come on.
Their average attendance last year in Miami was 10,014.
You know the biggest...
At least Tampa averaged 14.2.
Let me tell you this. The biggest thing that... My biggest pet peeve when I worked in a front office of a sports franchise was with the Rockets when they started this whole thing about less is more, less sponsors that pay more money because you put a supreme value on it, and they believe that you devalue the ticket if you ever give tickets away at a cheap price because then people are going to expect it. But guess what? If you don't devalue the ticket and bring it down a little bit and give some people some reasons to go to games, no one's going.
Yeah, because you could still get the parking and the food revenue.
And if you take the kids and they start to go, hey, I like this, let's do it again, the chances are you could go to multiple games and start increasing attendance.
And you can slowly then start to raise it again.
God, that annoyed me.
Yeah.
All right, we're rolling through hour number one of the three-hour show. Plenty more to get to. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRP Listener Line. You can call, text, or hit us up on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. You say hello, and then I say
I do. I heard it. You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back.
see you.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number one of the three-hour show, Usual Suspects. Nick, Barry, Joel in studio. Monday we will be on the road. We will be at Twin Peaks I-10 Kirkwood location, us in the Blitz, so broadcasting 1 through 7 p.m. If you're in the area for lunch, stop on by. If you're on your way home and looking for a place for happy hour, give us a check.
Yes.
How about that?
Stalker Brian said my birthday is March 7th if you want to put it on the calendar.
I said, nope,
no, dude, we will forget.
For sure. That's on you.
No, I'm good.
If you want to remind us.
Stalker Brian. He is a weirdo, by the way.
Why?
Well, he's just creepy.
The name fits?
Yeah. He just sends weirdo tweets.
And it's not something you should be proud of, right? Being a stalker?
Yeah.
So that could go one of two ways at this
point. He's a listener, though. He's a suspect. Yeah. He listens all the time, so.
So that could go one of two ways.
Listen. We got a lot of creepy listeners. This because you listen doesn't mean you're not creepy, all right?
It's pretty accurate. That could go one of two ways at this point. You could now shame him into not doing it anymore, or he could just ramp it up.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you're thirsty in Denver, Juan was listening.
Oh,
that was a shot set up for Juan.
Wow.
And I got him.
Dang,
okay.
Son.
I knew you were listening. It's what you do.
Why is he in Denver again? Why did
he move there?
Yeah, before.
Got him a big-time job.
You're not thirsty if we can tell you your whole life story for you.
No, I met him in person at the...
He was here. He moved to Denver. He got a job with Coors. Anything else you need?
Coors?
Coors. Because we gave him a hard time with Coronado. Yeah. Do you listen to the show?
Never.
Well, you're not a suspect then.
Oh, boy.
I'm half a suspect.
I don't know what to do.
Selective listening.
Is that what you do? You
makes you a portion of a suspect.
Okay.
Steven Usyk and several others on the text line were all saying the same thing, that the Rays said they would play the first half in Tampa and the second half in Montreal. Still dumb.
Yeah, I still don't think it defeats the purpose because you still got to have two different residences.
Yeah, it's still dumb.
Look, I don't like it.
Sean Sweeney said, Barry, trust me, Stalker Brian is definitely creepy.
Well, there you go. We always get good answers from the suspects.
Who was it? Someone tweeted out something. And his response was, don't take this the wrong way, but nice feet. And it was a dude, and it was like, what are you doing, bro?
Really?
Why?
Nice feet?
What are you doing?
Wow.
What are you?
So that's what I was like, okay, mute.
What are you, Rex Ryan?
Yeah.
Rex Ryan with the foot fetish.
I guess. Stalker, Rex Bryan going on here with Stalker Bryan. I don't know. That's weird. All right. This brings up a conundrum.
Oh.
Mac Daddy. Oh, you like that, huh?
Yeah.
My word of the day calendar has been paying off.
There you
this
go.
Year.
Yeah.
Mac Daddy sent us a tweet. He's like, hey, I just got off a flight. I have a gripe. If there's two of you and one of you is skinny, then the skinny person should sit in the middle. And then the other two people sit, around the skinny person. He said also, this is the bone of contention I have. He said also, don't sit there and just fart the whole time. Now, how do you know who farts on a plane? Unless you can hear it, there's no telling.
And it's hard to hear on a plane, too. So.
Yeah. Mac Daddy, make sure,
But the silent killers are the worst.
Yeah, but that's usually, because I think they say that the airplane kind of makes you, like the pressure and all that. Yeah. So, look, I'll get it in on a plane. I ain't going to sit here in front. I'll get it in. And then I'll look around. Who did that? Like, God, oh. I'll act like, oh, I'm so disgusted by whoever did that.
But that's such a red flag. I would immediately point to you.
You would immediately think it was me?
Be like, Barry is the one who did it.
No, because then I'll just get up. I'll be like, oh, God. Ugh. And then I'll walk off and be like, y'all wallering it. I'll be in the back. But how do you know? Unless you hear it. You can't be blaming the man next to you for farting. It could be someone behind you, in front of you.
Nah, you can kind of tell.
Could if be the it, flight attendant.
If it was someone in front of you, it had to travel.
Bro, if Joel was a flight attendant,
I'm dead to rights no matter what.
He'd be crop dusting an entire 747 up and down that aisle. Just
makes its way upstairs.
Everybody would be leaving with fart on their shoulder.
You know what the greatest thing would be?
Everyone with an aisle seat would have fart on their shoulder. Every one of them.
And you know what the greatest thing would be? I'd be at the end of the aisle, at the very back of the giggling. Plane, just laughing, yeah, watching everybody would. Just go do a Barry. And I'd be laughing at Barry from the back of the plane.
They'd be starting chants, land this plane, land this plane.
Wait.
But we're over water. Can't do it.
I don't care.
You want me to land another one? Wait, what'd you say? I'll be right there. Hang on. Beep. Light goes on. Hey.
Yeah, don't be blaming people just randomly. That's not fair. All right?
If you're talking about it, I'm blaming your ass, though. I'm telling you that right now. If you're saying,
Nick's going to the whole theory of whoever smelt it dealt.
Mac Daddy said it was easy because they got up and turned and it smelled. It was very potent. That doesn't necessarily. Now I will say.
Well, they maybe need to shower.
You know, there's sometimes, and look, we're all men here. We can talk about this. There's some times where you're sitting on the couch and you know you let one rip and you think it's gone. Then you get up and you leave the room, and then your wife's like, "Good Lord, what is that?" You realize it was just you were just keeping a lid on it.
Yeah, it was lingering. It was stuck in the cushions. Or
then you get up,
whatever.
And then you release the hounds.
I've done that to Fred a few times when he comes in the studio. I think it's gone, but I've drilled it into this office chair. And when
he comes in, he's like,
"Oh God, it smells like in here." And I'm like, "I don't know what the hell that is, Fred, but I gotta go."
God, poor Fred is coming in here wallowing in Joel's farts for 3 more hours. I'm glad I'm not the only one that has to share it.
Yeah.
Okay. If they get up and then it starts stinking again, maybe they're busted.
Well, I mean, it's also possible, like, if you didn't shower and you got a little junk funk and you spin quickly, that you can smell. But for the most part, he does have a point. If you change directions and it carries with you, there's a pretty good chance you probably dropped one.
I would agree. All right.
Uber drivers all over the city of Houston are getting 1 stars right now.
Oh, is that the last time we talked about farting?
We were talking about farting, and apparently Uber Mike's
client.
Hey, Uber Mike.
Didn't appreciate us talking about this.
Yeah. Listen, you should know by now. If you got kids in the car, you're an Uber driver.
Lyft driver.
You got old people in the car. You got Christians.
Your mom.
You got conservatives. Your mom.
We've had a lot of listeners say, well, my mom was listening.
Basically, if you're by yourself, you can listen.
Not.
Office setting, you can listen, but use earbuds.
Use headphones.
Don't put it over the speakers. We know that didn't work out well either.
That's right.
All right, you know what works out well? 1 hour in the book, still 2 hours to go with the big show. It's the second hour coming up next. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.